And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the bier, and the bearer stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Young people are not supposed to die. They're supposed to get old and then die. Or at least that's what we think. When we're young, the prospect of death and even old age is but an afterthought if we think of it at all. There's that assumption when we're young that death is just far down the road. And even us adults look at children and teenagers and assume that they have long futures to behold. But life's experiences should teach us otherwise, shouldn't they? Because every once in a while, young people in their prime are taken from us. Another reminder that death is no respecter of age. In today's gospel lesson from Luke, a widow is mourning the loss of her son. A young man, the scriptures say, a young man in the flower of his youth has died. We don't know how, the scriptures don't say, but we can understand the level of grief this woman was suffering. She's accompanied by a sizable crowd of mourners as she and her entourage proceed out of the city with the corpse that is her son. When young people die, we get that vivid reminder that death is always around the corner. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, a milkmaid, pastor, or president, all of us can look forward to the wage for our sin, and that is the wage of death. The woman was grieving. She had lost her only son, Luke says, but that wasn't her only problem. No, we got to remember, she's living in first century Israel, and the Roman government did not have an elaborate welfare system in place. She's from the town of Nain. Nain didn't have a government office where she could walk in and receive all the financial assistance she needed. There's no mention of family in this text. There's no mention of her having other sons. Her husband is dead. And so we ask the question, who is going to take care of her? You see, because when the funeral was over, when her dead son was laid into the ground, covered with dust and with dirt, a whole new set of problems was going to set in for this widow. Just how would she be provided for? And so we see grieving, temporal needs. Grieving, temporal needs. Kind of sounds like the Christian life, doesn't it? Kind of describes the Christian even in today's time. We grieve, don't we, over all sorts of things. And we have temporal needs: food, water, shelter, protection, clothing. All those things which God gives to support our physical bodies. It's not people. It's not governments, but God. Our Lord and God alone, He is the one who gives us what we need to support our bodies and our lives. Everything from the food we eat to the air we breathe. Daily bread, Jesus says, we pray for. We do it in the Lord's Prayer. And on that, Luther will say, regarding daily bread, he says, God gives daily bread to all people without our prayers, even to all evil people. If that sounds familiar to you, it's in his small catechism. And Luther is not making that up. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says that God is kind to the, quote, ungrateful and the evil. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, quote, God makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. How about that? Both the righteous and the unrighteous receive good gifts from God. The difference is the Christian is called by God's grace to realize this, to realize that good gifts come from the hand of our Lord and our God. And we struggle with this because we take these things for granted. Another meal, another car, another good night's sleep, another roof over our heads. What's the big deal, right? Everyone has these things. We take them for granted. That is, until they're taken away from us. You go a few days without food, and the next time you leave the dinner table full, you'll be thankful, no matter what kind of food it is you were served. Go a couple weeks without transportation, and you'll realize anything's better than nothing. Lose a limb. Lose an eye. Lose your hearing. Lose your mind. Then you'll realize the body indeed is a precious gift. Health is a precious gift given to our bodies by our Lord and our God, who does create, fashion, and yes, heals our bodies. Lose a loved one, and you'll see how precious life is and how the opportunity to forgive and reconcile with your neighbor should never be put off till tomorrow, because the truth is your neighbor could be gone before you know it. Death is no respecter of time. Death is no respecter of age. Taking temporal gifts for granted. Christian, I bring this up to you. I bring this up to you so as you live your life as a Christian, as one who bears the name of Christ, you realize the good gifts your Lord and your God gives you, and that you don't take them for granted. Yet, this admonition applies not only to temporal gifts. Food and water and clothing, that's one thing. But we all know man doesn't live on bread alone, does he? But man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What that means is true life, abundant life, eternal life, the life that matters, Christian, belongs to you, not on account of your stockpile of earthly goods. Abundant life is yours by God's grace through faith in Jesus. It is because of the Word incarnate, the Word made flesh, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you have life and you have forgiveness. It is because of Jesus that you have God's pardon and his peace from your sins on account of Jesus' death and resurrection. This is glorious news for every sinner. But as we take temporal gifts for granted, guess what else? That's right. We take spiritual matters for granted, too. We hear it all the time in the Lutheran Church, that phrase from Ephesians, saved by God's grace through faith, kind of a worn-out mantra, isn't it? We hear it all the time, that phrase, the forgiveness of sins. We hear it all the time, that teaching that salvation is God's gift to you, a gift apprehended by that other gift of faith that God gives through the hearing of his mighty word. We hear those things all the time, and we become smug. They become no big deal. We take them for granted. And what we should do is rejoice every day, all day, every day, for the gift of life our Lord gives to every sinner, ours by faith in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Glorious gift that we too often take for granted. Or maybe down in the deep, dark crevices of your hearts and in your minds, you find the notion of free salvation in Christ a little difficult to believe in. Ah, can it be? Can the gospel, can the good news really be that good? Can it be that my salvation has been won for me by my crucified and risen Savior over 2,000 years ago? The answer is yes. Absolutely. Our Lord is not a liar. And God does not make a promise that he doesn't intend to keep. The Old Testament reading and the New Testament reading contain similar accounts, don't they? Both involve widows who have lost their son. Now, I want us to think about for a moment the response of the widow in Zarephath. She's lost her son, and so this is what she says to Elijah. Hear it again. What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. So the widow thinks her son has died to bring to her remembrance her sin. Now, on the one hand, it's not a bad thing when calamity drives somebody to repentance and faith in Jesus. But there is a bigger message in this, too, that the widow gets when God, by his grace, miraculously brings this dead man back to life, and that is, with God, there is life. The widow learns that even in death, by our Lord and our God, we have life. And so it is for the Christian. For the Christian, the one baptized into the name of Jesus. The promise is that at death, death is only but the gateway to glory. The widow learned this. She learned also that from Elijah came oracles of God, that indeed he was a man of God who spoke God's word that included the promise of life and resurrection. Now that's the Old Testament. We move on to the New Testament. Similar story. Widow, grieving, lost her only son. Only this time, she doesn't run into a mere prophet. This time, God incarnate, God in the flesh, is on the scene. Verse 13 is important. Verse 13 in Luke says, "And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, 'Do not weep.'" The Lord saw her. The Lord had compassion on her. And then he spoke. And what happens? When Jesus speaks, the young man rises, resurrected by the power of God's spoken word. Jesus is the one having compassion. Jesus is the one who speaks. He sees the woman, he speaks, and her son is brought back to life. Notice who's doing the work. Notice who does this miraculous healing without any cooperation on part of the widow. The Lord only sees her grief, sees her suffering, sees her mourning. He has compassion, and the young man rises from the dead. God has compassion, friends. God is loving. And God does give life to sinners. This account in Luke, another one of Jesus' physical miracles, right? Giving life, physical life, to this dead young man. But we can also see, brothers and sisters, a picture of the spiritual condition. The spiritual condition of every sinner. In this account, Jesus' word brings life. Without God, every sinner is dead in trespasses. Without God, the sinner remains dead in sin. So am I saying a person can be living, walking, talking, breathing, and yet still be considered dead before God? Absolutely. We hear from Jesus' own lips when he says, "Let the dead bury their own dead." The fact of the matter is, a person can be dead before God even when blood is coursing through their veins. And as the dead man was being brought to his grave, so it is with every sinner dead in trespasses, heading to their graves without the ability to resuscitate themselves. Wouldn't it be silly if the widow and her entourage were all heading out to the gravesite? And on the way there, the widow looks at the bier and her dead son laying on top of it and started saying, "Wake up! Sit up! Speak, you can do it! Come on!" Maybe she even shook him a bit. "Talk to me, son! Live again!" Silly, right? Almost makes you want to laugh to think about it, because the corpse has no life. The corpse cannot bring itself back to life. The sinner dead in trespasses cannot bring his or herself to life. Asking the unbeliever to bring his or herself into the kingdom of God is like asking a corpse to live. You're asking the impossible. Depressing news if you're one of those people who thinks you can do everything on your own. You can't, especially when it comes to salvation. That's God's department. And Christian, he will take care of it. And indeed, he has done so. The word of God is living, active, it is powerful. We see in this text the word of God. It's only spoken. And this young man is brought from death to life. The word of God, friends, it is not human speech. But his is a divine word that when spoken, miracles happen. Or we could put it this way. The Word of God is a performative word, meaning that it performs what God sets it out to do. It will not return void, but it will accomplish what he wants it to. Whether that's bringing oceans and mountains into existence or creating faith in a sinful heart, God's Word is powerful, mighty, and it brings life to sinners. That's one good reason for coming to church. We get to hear that mighty Word of God. A word by which we are comforted by his promise of sins blotted out, washed away by the blood of our compassionate, loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My final point is, in this text we see the compassion of our Lord Jesus, no doubt about it. He gives life back to this widow's son. And in so many ways, he restored life back to her. She leaves the city with a corpse and returns with her child alive and well, a child who could now take care of her. But brothers and sisters, I want you to be aware of the compassion of our Lord Jesus goes beyond this. The compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ reaches its climax at the cross. If you want to know how much God loves you, if you're wondering how much God cares for you, if you're wondering about God's compassion for you, look to your Savior and hear about him willingly going to the cross, being arrested, tried, nailed to a tree, bleeding, suffering, and dying out of his love and compassion for you. Bleeding and suffering to make you his child, one washed and forgiven by this atoning work. This sacrificial, compassionate work. Christian, your sins have been paid for. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased by the shed blood of our compassionate Savior, Jesus Christ. And on account of his work, you have peace and pardon with the Lord your God. God's word says this, and it is a promise that will be with you even at death. You are not dead, but in Christ you are alive to God, both now and unto eternity. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.